Let's talk to Bruce Williamson about this. He's from the campaign group Rail Future. They're Britain's leading pro-rail campaign group. Thanks for joining us, Bruce.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. I have to say, I do like the sound of this. Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, yes and no. It sort of makes sense in the context of a situation where there's a desperate shortage of rolling stock and we have a, you know, an overcrowded railway. Something's got to give, I suppose, really. And you can understand, as you said, you described this quite well, that you get on a sort of sardine-packed train and you look enviously at these first-class carriages. For those of us, unlike you, who can't afford a personalised helicopter or a chauffeur driven Rolls, you know, and we think, well, why isn't that space made available? I do have a sort of sense that, you know, it's nice to have the choice, isn't it? If you pay your money, you take your choice.
Well, you say nice to have the choice on a rush hour train. I'm doing pretty well in life, and I would really balk at spending my own money on a rush hour first class ticket. If someone else is paying, more than happy. But I've got to be honest, we are looking at often £250 for a journey rush hour, for like a return ticket during rush hour between some of our major cities. I don't think that is a choice for most people.
Well, maybe not for most people, but it's reasonable to say let's offer people that option, and if they take it, they take it. If they don't, they don't. The thing is, for first class to work, you have to have spare capacity, because that's what people pay for. They pay for that, the guarantee of getting a choice of seats and plenty of legroom.
But is that what they're paying for, though? Because I've been in first class trips when other people are paying, and it's been absolutely packed. And I have to say, it's not as nice as sitting in a half empty carriage. But we can't. I mean, just because someone is paying £200 as opposed to £40 for a journey, they don't get the right to a whole carriage. They just get that comfier seat and a little less noise.
Well, there you go. Don't they get the right to four times the space? That's the sort of principle. You know, it's a sort of business model. It either works or it doesn't. And if, you know, if we don't have the luxury, I suppose, because of a shortage of carriages, of offering that choice, then I suppose it kind of makes sense. But there's a side of me that sort of feels that choice should still be there for those who are prepared to pay through the nose for it.
Well, again, but not at the expense. Mm. We're told one of the big problems with overcrowding is we can't make the trains any longer, but yet we can have three or four or even five carriages that are virtually empty for first class. But I was wondering, in terms of the business model, and this is obviously an issue of the trains being, you know, part privatised, it's a very complicated model. It's sort of half nationalised, half not. But in terms of those people who are all paid business travellers, their companies are paying, and they've got these very expensive tickets, are they subsidising the rest of us? So if we didn't have those first class tickets and all those first class carriages, would our economy tickets go up?
I fear they would slightly. I would have thought that the train operating companies would want to make a profit out of it, otherwise it would be doubly painful for them, wouldn't it? You know, and I think the first class tickets aren't regulated in the same way as standard class are. So, you know, clearly these very expensive tickets, I mean, I read just today that they are making quite a lot of money for the train operating companies. I can't absolutely guarantee that. So, yeah, you could argue that they're subsidising the sardine-packed commuters to some extent, which is a tiny, tiny little consolation. But, I mean, on the bigger picture, I would say we ought to not be in this situation at all, because this is a kind of a bodge to squeeze out more capacity on the network. And we have to put this in the context of what's been happening on the railways in the last 20 years, which is that passenger numbers have just gone up and up and up. They've doubled. You know, we don't have double the number of trains, and the investment hasn't kept up with that growth. And that's why, you know, Chris Grayling is sort of trialing this idea of ditching first class for standard.
I mean, we know, for instance, when you get planes, that again, the people playing for the first class tickets, the business class tickets, they're subsidising us. But, and again, they may well be doing that on the trains as well. But because most people don't have a choice about getting a train, they're nearly always doing it because they've got to travel there for work. They can't drive on the journey, or they don't have a car. There is much less choice involved, and it's much more vital to our infrastructure day to day that people can travel, that there is an argument that whatever those costs, whatever the profits, whatever a hit or anything like that, whatever someone might like about having a nice, you know, carriage to themselves in first class, that actually the needs of the average commuter, are more than all of those issues.
Yeah, I think that is actually quite a reasonable argument. But of course, I do fear that this is a sticking plaster, you know, that in, you know, 5-10 years' time, we're going to be sort of back to square one with all of the first class gone, and the entire train rammed to the gills because that investment hasn't happened. And, you know, to be fair, investment is happening. New trains are being built and so on. But I fear that it isn't going to catch up. And I think investment. It must be sustained over the long term. And with the benefit of hindsight, this investment should have been much sooner.
Absolutely. And we are pretty long way behind an awful lot of our Western European counterparts on this in terms of our investment, which is bizarre because, again, we spend so much and yet we don't see the benefits a lot of the time. However, I'm just wondering what the legal situation is. I've certainly been on a train when I've been on an economy ticket. It's been absolutely packed, but I've actually had a really serious leg injury. And I couldn't. There was no way I could stand on the journey, and there was no way I could sit and then get up again. It was really, there wasn't enough space to sit for a start. And I went and sat in first class and immediately alerted the conductor and said, look, I've got an economy ticket. I'm not in a position to buy a first class ticket and no intention of doing so, but I've bought a ticket for this train. I'm unable to stand. So I'm going to sit here. You can take my details, but that's what I'm going to do. Now, legally speaking, if you are on a train that is absolutely packed and people are standing along the whole of the train, absolutely packed outside the smelly loos in the vestibules, I think they rather laughably call them, and there are sort of 40 spare seats in first class. Are people entitled to go and sit in those seats?
I don't think they are, actually.
They should be.
Again, you can sort of see the moral argument and the frustration on the part of passengers. There aren't any regulations that prevent passengers being squeezed in. You know,
we haven't bought a seat, have we? We've bought a space on a train. Yes.
Mm. But I mean, I think you went about it the right way. You know, the approaching the conductor first, and a little bit of common sense prevailed for an injured woman. So I'm glad that one worked out all right. You know, and I think there have been examples in the past where passengers have sort of not quite rioted, but acted en masse, and the poor old conductor just has to sort of throw his hands up and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. But I'm still not convinced that that's a legal way of going forward.
No, and they're going to have to resolve this. Bruce Williamson, lovely to talk to you. He's from the campaign group Rail Future, Britain's leading pro-rail campaign. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.